You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
The evidence here in Psalms 23 is overwhelming that David is in an older, more mature station of his life. That's the nice way we say in church he's old, more mature. You know, we can say anything in church mean as long as we say bless your heart afterwards, right? And David is searching back through the catalog of his life as he pens Psalms 23. So you have an understanding that in Psalms 23, David's been through some stuff. Is there anybody in the room that you've been through some stuff? You all had it perfect? Is there anybody that you've had to walk through some mess, through some gunk to get to where you are today, that you really shouldn't be darkening the doors of stained glass windows and steeples, but here you are sitting in church today in a high school. Look what the Lord has done. David said, I've been through some stuff. I've been through some stuff. And he exits the first section on restoration, and he proceeds into the valley. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. This is all the place of rest. He restores, as Pastor Landon said, my soul. Sometimes God's got to make you lay down. I'm a living witness of that, if I can testify this morning. Has God ever had to make you lay down? You see, because God can't restore what does not rest. And if you do not rest, he will not restore. So he had to make you lie down so he could restore you to get ready for what was ahead of you. See, I'm already getting ahead of myself, but God's been preparing you for what is coming down the road. And some of you, the reason why you have not advanced is because you've not rested that you could be restored. So you have the spiritual stamina to withstand the next season in your life. But I've come to tell you this morning that God, I feel like God has restored this house, and you are walking into a season of victory like you've never seen before. I believe that. Whatever God does corporately, he does individually. So David, as he exits this season of restoration in three sections, so you've got restoration, you've got valley, and you've got victory. David is older. He's looking back over his life. He's saying, through all the bears and the lions and my son and Saul and the armor and Goliath, he said, everything that I've been through, if I've realized anything, it's this: the Lord's been with me. The Lord has been by my side the entire time. And he says, as I proceed into this valley, he said, I have made a conscious decision to fear no evil. I felt the Lord say this morning in prayer, I was sitting over here kneeling down, to break a generational curse of fear. To break the generational curse of fear off somebody's life that's in this room right now. He said, I have made a decision that fear is not an option. It's not an option as we move forward. Fear is not an option at all. So David was very clear about this. In other words, David said, I'm in the valley, but I found the grace of God's presence. Therefore, I will fear no evil, because I have a predetermined revelation that this valley must surrender to the victory of my God. David said, it is already predetermined that before I ever got in this valley has to surrender to the victory of who my God is. So can I tell you, no matter where you are right now, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your family situation looks like, your valley has to surrender to the victory of your God? My God, that's enough to make you want to shout this morning. So as we bring a revelation of the valley, I want you to understand that in this place, that your valley was meant to lead you to a place of victory. It was meant to guide you and lead you to a place of victory. But before we move forward in this text, you have to understand the first five words. The Lord is my shepherd. If you don't get these five words, you don't get the next five verses. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. That should bring healing to our soul. That should bring deliverance to our soul. David starts out with the Lord, in Hebrew, Yahweh. Not Adonai, not El Royai, not Nisi, not Shalom, not Rapha. He goes, Yahweh. Yahweh is the self-existing God. the God who was never created, the God who always has been. He is the all-powerful God that has been through all of eternity, and before the foundations of the earth were even laid, his son was already slain for the mistake that you would make before you ever made it. That God already made a way for you before you ever messed up. That'll make me want to take a couple laps around this building. That God created an out for me before he loved me before I knew how to love him. He said, Yahweh, the self-existing God, the God of all eternity. He's the Lord, all caps, L-O-R-D. He said, that God is my shepherd. He said, the Lord was in eternity, prepared a place for me in eternity, got himself back into my reality as shepherd, and escorted me to the thing that he has already prepared for me. The Lord is my shepherd shows the eternal God becoming your right now shepherd and escorting you into everything that he has prepared for you. That's why your job is not to pursue a place, is to pursue the shepherd. Your job is not to pursue a destination, your job is to pursue the Lord. Because everything that he has for you is in his hands. He's already been there. You have not. So why take a supernatural call and use natural steps to make it happen? He said, I've already been there. The Lord inserted himself into your now and escorted you to your future. This is what David says with the Lord is my shepherd. So let's talk about the necessity of the valley. David says here that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And today I want to shift your perspective of the valley. And let's be honest, we all have valleys. All of us. If you ain't never had a valley, you ain't lived long enough, or you lying. If your neighbor didn't say they've had a valley, walk them to the altar at the end. We're going to get them saved. We've all had valleys, mental, emotional, your business, your families, we've all had them. David does not shy away from the fact that the valley is not the object of pursuit, but David does make it very clear that the valley is the path of discovery. That it's not the thing that you pursue, but God uses the valley so that you can discover more about who you are and more about who he is. And so when David is talking in the 23rd Psalm, he's actually very specific. Remember, he's a shepherd. So David is specifically speaking to what's called a sheep drive. A sheep drive. This is what David is talking about in all of the 23rd Psalm. I want to give you a total new perspective of this psalm and what David is talking about in the valley. He's talking about a sheep drive, and this is the context of this verse. It was a specific time of year that the shepherds would take the sheep away from the ranch, away from all the hired hands, all the ranchers, all the helpers and the hired hands, the shepherd would take the sheep to more fertile ground. It was in this specific season that David's talking about that the sheep and the shepherds were alone together. The sheep and the shepherd would be alone together in the valley. And David makes a sudden shift in the Psalms that we can miss if we are not very deliberate when we study this. I tell my church all the time, if you read the Bible, it'll talk to you. So if I say, if you read the Bible, it'll talk to you. And David makes a shift that if we just pass through this Psalms, we totally miss this shift. In the first section, David references Yahweh with the pronoun he. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. And everything is about he. He is describing who he is talking about, and he is describing who it is that's going to be with him when he gets in the valley. And then all of a sudden, David, oh, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. David gets down in the valley and he moves from third person narrative to first person conversation. And right out of the gate, David shows us that it wasn't until I got in the valley that I understood God on an intimate level. Because now he gets in the valley and he says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. It was he at the beginning when I was setting this thing up. But now that I've gotten into the valley, it's me and you, God. There's nobody else around. My neighbor has left. left me. My family's left me. People I love have left me. It's me and you, Jesus. And he said, I will fear no evil because you are with me. David said, in the beginning, David speaking to an audience, when David moves into to the mid portion of Psalms 23, David has all of a sudden forgotten about the audience. David said, I've got an audience of one now. He said, valleys are opportunities for intimacy. I said, valleys are opportunities for intimacy. Valleys have a way of increasing intimacy with the Father because they increase the intensity of your pursuit. The reason the valley has increased your intimacy is because they have increased the intensity of how you pursue God. It was in my valley that I learned about the grace of God. It was in my valley that I found out. I heard them sing about Waymaker on Sunday morning, but it wasn't until I got in a valley that I really knew who my Waymaker was. It wasn't until I got in a tight spot that I really knew the God that would heal, the God that would deliver, the God that would set free. I thank God for the valleys because I saw a side of him I've never seen before. Had it not been for your valleys, you wouldn't praise the way you praise. Had the enemy not left you for dead, you wouldn't worship the way you worship now. Had the enemy not poked at you and pried at you, you wouldn't know how to pray the way you pray. But look how God turned around what was meant for harm and used it for your good. Because the entire time it's not been about the blessing, it's been about you. It's been about you. He's been after you. The valley was a test of intimacy, not a test of approval for what's next. Oh, God have mercy. It was a test of intimacy. How much do you love me? How bad do you want me? Will you praise when other churches let out? Will you stay here at the altar and still seek my face? God said, I let you go through a valley because I wanted more time with you. Now watch. Shepherds know that not only is the valley the quickest way to get to the top, valleys have the most provision. I said valleys have the most provision. Sometimes we're so consumed with getting to the top that we discredit the preparation of the low. That it was in that valley that God's been preparing you. It's in that valley that God's been making you. He's been working on the infrastructure of your character because you can't handle the weight of the glory that's coming next. If you didn't let God work on who you are, there's some stuff that God had to get out of you. There's some things and some ways and some habits and some pride and some greed and some insecurities and worry and anxiety that God had to remove from you to give you the infrastructure to handle what's next. I'm changing your perspective of the valley this morning, that you went through what you went through for a purpose. Y'all all right with the shouting and sweating this morning? I get a little passionate about the word of God and y'all pull stuff out of people. You see, the strength you need to climb the mountain is only found in the resources of the valley. It's the most fertile place. So you don't even have the strength to climb unless you've been through the valley. What? How much time I got on that thing? Somebody tell me. I'll be here. We'll preach the three. He told me I'd go to 4:15 this afternoon. We'll roll right into the men's event. So praise God. If you leave, everybody's watching you. There they go. We know they're not the spiritual ones. They will never serve on the worship team. This is why you have to stop tripping over the valley. This is why you've got to stop stressing out over the valley. You have got to quit losing your quality of life because you are going through a time of preparation. God never sent you through preparation so that you would lose your quality of life. God didn't send you and allow you to go through a valley so that you wouldn't sleep at night and so you couldn't lay your head down at night. And God didn't put you through this valley so that you would cry tears of sorrow. God didn't put you through this valley so that your marriage would be dysfunctional and you would be angry at your children. And so that you would be mad at everything else. This God did not put you through this valley for this. And so we've got people in the house of God that live as if Psalms 23 says, yea, though I walk to the valley of the shadow of death. Because you think the valley is a destination place, but David said, no, it's a delivery place. Your valley has never been a destination place, it's a delivery place. And the reason I can praise in spite of my valley is because I know that I'm not staying there. It's not a destination, it's delivering. Oh, bless God, have mercy. Delivering me to something that's greater. I'm gonna prove to you, I'm gonna move through this quick. I'm gonna prove to you that there's victory in the valley. I'm gonna prove to you what God is doing in this season in your life, in this season in Mercy Culture. David said, he didn't say that evil was not present. He just said, I don't fear it because I have an understanding of who my tour guide is. He said, I know that I have a tour guide that is walking me to my testimony. See, the last thing you wanna do is get to the mountaintop and have nothing to say. That's why you'd be better off not praying for a platform. Pray for something to say so that when you get to the platform, there is something that proceeds out of your mouth that will break the chains of the enemy. And the reason you went through the valley is to give you something to say. Somebody shout testimony. Testimony. Is there anybody that's got a testimony in this room? You got something to say. Then talk about it. Stop being afraid. Stop being worried. You ought to talk about how much God's done for you. You ought to not be shy. You ought to not be, not worry what people think so much. You ought to, I know it's radical. I know it. That's for somebody here. You've been waiting to share your testimony in this room. Let me get serious. You've got a really bad, nasty, ugly testimony, and you've been afraid to share it, but the Lord has shown me, and there's somebody over here that's supposed to stand on this stage right here and release a testimony that will break chains off of women. And you'll remember the day I prophesied this on this stage, that one day somebody is going to stand right here on this stage and give a testimony, and women will lose their mind in this place. I got a good tour guide. Got a good tour guide. See, when I get to the top and I've got something to say, it's then that I realize that my story from one valley is actually my provision for the next valley. My testimony. Now, as you move from the testimony, if you study the birthing of the lamb, typically they're born in March when the shepherd arrives back home from the sheep drive. So the shepherd will take the sheep out and they come back in March and the lambs are born there. But if you trace backwards the gestation period, you realize something that's incredibly fascinating is that it's actually in the valley that the lambs, that the sheep are impregnated with the lamb. You realize that it was in the valley that they get impregnated with something in the dark place, in the valley of the shadow of death, that something gets put on the inside of them. And see, we think that impregnation happens when things are going good, but impregnation happens when you get in a place when it's just you and Abba Father, and it's just the two of you in a place, then he can put something on the inside of you, and you say, Pastor, why? Why did it have to be that? Because if he had given it to you around other people, they would have aborted what he put on the inside of you. So he had to, oh God, he had to get you by yourself. Oh, Jesus. Somebody shout yes. Yeah. So now, Pastor, I understand now what John the Revelator talked about. Now I understand why there's victory in the valley. If a testimony happens in the valley and a lamb is birthed in the valley, now I understand that there is indeed victory in the valley. And David understood Revelations 12:11. You overcome Satan by the blood of the lamb and the word of a testimony. Now you understand why David said, I fear no evil, because I get a word and I get a lamb in the valley. I've come to testify there's victory in the valley. My God, I gotta move on. There's victory in the valley. There's a necessity to your valley. Your valley was necessary. You wouldn't be who you are today without your valley. This church would not be. Look, are you kidding? Look around. 5 months old. You got in 5 months what took us 5 years to build. Because there's a grace on this house. There's favor on this house. But this house, and he doesn't mind me saying this, this house would not be what this house is if the both of you didn't have to go through some valleys and get some things impregnated in you in the valley, and there were people that wanted to take it out of your womb, but God said, no, it was because you were by yourself. And if you'll let me put it in you in a secret place, I'll protect it in public. are protected in public. So here's the fun part. David says, in the valley, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, we like to skip this part. Ain't nobody trying to get beat up in the valley. My wife takes this scripture way too literal. She ordered a rod and staff and thinks because it's from Israel that it's holy enough to beat me with it. I pray for me. She's right here in the flower dress. He says, your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou rod and staff, it had a hook and actually a blunt nose on it. But then on the other end, there was a straight, sharper end. And in the valley of the shadow of death or valley of darkness, sometimes the sheep would stray. Have you ever known sheep to stray when it gets dark? You ever seen folk in church go through a little hard time and they quit showing up? Yeah, you see, the enemy likes to get you to stray when things get dark. And that's why the shepherd has a rod and staff. And so actually the shepherds, if you study them, they would have like their own little Olympic games. And they would see who could throw the staff the longest. They really would. This is true if you study it. And so what would happen is a sheep would be about 100 yards up the way. And the shepherd would just smile and take his rod and just... like a football. Boom. Has the Lord ever made you make that noise? And watch now. Would hit the sheep because they're going off course. It was necessary, but it was uncomfortable. Sometimes the discomfort that you feel is not punishment, it's correction. I know you didn't get that position. I know they left you. I know you feel like God has hidden you, but the rod and staff, do not mistake the rod and staff as punishment. It is mercy. It is mercy. The fact that he didn't let you get, he kept you from being a mess. That if the devil could have killed you, he'd have killed you a long time ago. But the rod and staff come in and got you back on track. Pastor Landon got up and preached a message that puts you back on track. So Hebrews says the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Now the fork side at the same time, you see, as David's talking about this transition through the valley, you see that now the sheep said, well, the rod and it has hit me. And now all of a sudden on the other side, the sheep get startled because the shepherd bangs the ground as hard as he can with the staff. And all the sheep are wondering, what is the shepherd doing? Oh, see, that was a moment for somebody, because have you ever asked yourself, Lord, what are you doing? Have you ever asked the Lord, have you forgotten me? Lord, what are you doing? Are you hiding me? Why have you pushed me away? Why have you stopped me? Why have you blocked me? Why are you not hearing my prayers? I've been praying for a decade. Tell me why you have not heard me. And in the moment of all the sheep getting startled, they look and realize that the shepherd has just stabbed a snake that was in the ground. And so the reason that the rod and staff was comforting is because the same rod and staff that was used for direction was also used for protection. Yeah, you see, his rod and staff are comforting you because there were some things that tried to creep up on you and your family. They tried to creep up on your business that you did not know was there. And you thought the Lord was punishing you, but he was protecting you. You thought he overlooked you. You thought he dismissed you. The reason you didn't get that place, that you didn't have that business, that you didn't have that relationship, that the things didn't work out the way you wanted them to work out, it's not that God was punishing you. God was protecting you. Because if God had let you get what you really wanted, you would have sold yourself out for something that was a lower lover. So the Lord said, no, I'm not letting you get it, because I've got something greater. I've got something greater. I need to minister that to somebody in the room this morning, that God's got something greater. That's why you didn't get that. He's not deprived you. He's protected you for your purpose. See, the rod and staff are there to protect the lamb that was put inside of you in the valley. And if it wasn't for the rod and staff, you would not be able to give birth to the thing God wants. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about. You've got the necessity of the valley, the necessity of the rod and staff. Now you've got the necessity of proper positioning. David said, now here I'm in the valley. And he brings me and he sets me at a table. He sets me at a, can I tell you that God has a specific table for your life? that God has a specific table for your ministry. Please, please don't ever become too overly familiar with what God is doing here. The hand of God is on this house. Don't you ever forget what you get to experience every Sunday is what most people literally go to heaven and they say, oh, this is what it's like? You get to experience heaven on earth. Man, if I could come back and preach kingdom, we'd tear this place apart right now to understand that you are an ambassador for the King and that you've been sent on an assignment from heaven to colonize this earth, not to look like this earth, but you've been sent with an assignment from the King to take over territory, to have authority. There is a specific table that has the name Mercy Culture on it in this city, and it's for you to dine at. Nobody else can sit at it, but it's yours. He said, I've set you at a table. Now this is a specific table because in the Hebrew, this wasn't like your little kitchen nook. Is that what they call them in Texas? A nook? I'm really from Nashville, but I live in Orlando, okay? So go Oilers, Titans. I saw a Mariota jersey down here. It made me feel at home. It blessed me. Yeah, there he is. It wasn't a breakfast nook table. It was actually David very specifically looks back over his life. Remember, he's been a king. David understands two different types of tables. David understands the table of obscurity, and David understands the table of notoriety. So David has the ability to make a choice on what kind of table he describes while he's in the valley. And David chooses a very specific table. David chooses a king's table. It was a table of royalty. It was a big, huge table that as you understand the Hebrew, this is what it would mean. It was a sign of promotion and security. There was no higher or safer place to dwell than at the king's table. No higher, no safer place to dwell than at his table. So now you understand kingdom when Jesus says in Luke 22, I assigned to you as my Father assigned to me a kingdom that you might eat and drink at my table. It's a very specific table. It's a kingdom table. And what would happen is on the sheep drive is that shepherds would go ahead of the sheep to a mountaintop. They would come through the valley and they would look for a mountaintop first and they would clear that mountaintop off and they would call it a tabletop mountain. And they would go, they would pour minerals, and they would remove poisonous plants. They would go ahead of the sheep. You just missed an opportunity to shout right there. They would go ahead and prepare a way. And they would create these tables. And in the valley, David makes a very humanistic transition. Watch what happens right here in the valley. He goes from grazing in grass, and the shepherd is fighting unseen battles, unseen enemies. This is where he goes in the first portion of Psalms 23. He said, I fear no evil for thou art with me. He said, I don't see the evil. He said, I just don't fear it because I know you're there with me. And he goes from grazing in grass as a sheep to now all of a sudden as a human, he's sitting at a table drinking out of cups, looking at the enemy face to face. Since when do sheep sit at tables? No, I mean, when you really read the Bible, do you really read the Bible? Do you ask the Holy Ghost questions? And I sat in my office and I said, Lord, when do sheep sit at tables? This is how my mind thinks. Everybody, including my wife, calls me weird, but it helps me when it comes to preaching. I said, Lord, since when do sheep, why did he make this transition when he's talking as sheep grazing in fields and lying in green pastures and beside still waters and Lord, what's going on? This is a powerful revelation. You see, sheep should never sit at tables with kings. Sheep should never sit at tables, period. In today's world, I saw the other day a Sonic drive-thru for dogs down the road here. You never know. But here's the key, sheep don't belong. They cannot eat king's food. In other words, David is saying during this entire journey, I went from an obscure shepherd boy with no experience, and God took me through some stuff, and I realized he was preparing me for what he prepared for me. That blessings that I never could have handled, miracles that I never believed I could receive, power I was way too prideful to handle. David said, the Lord prepared me for what he prepared for me. Most of us seek what he's prepared for us than we do how he's preparing us. If you would let him prepare you,
you, you would stumble upon what he's prepared for you. And if we could shift the pursuit of the house of God and get you to pursue getting prepared more than what he's prepared for you, then you would stumble. David said, I wasn't looking for a table. I was following the sheep, the shepherd. I wasn't looking for a miracle. I was following the shepherd, and I stumbled upon something that had my name on it. You see, if you follow the shepherd, you won't be tempted to sit at tables that you don't have the grace to sit at. You won't be tempted to sit at your neighbor's table because you like the outcome of what they've been through, but you don't understand the valley that they've had to walk through. So before you try to sit at a table that you don't have the grace for, you better let him prepare you for the table that's got your name on it. Yeah. There's a table with your name on it. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, it's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. The table was not the object of pursuit, though. It was a consequence of pursuing the shepherd. Let me kind of get you some sweet Jesus music. Play me up out of this thing. Now watch. Watch. He's in this valley, and he's sitting at a table. And imagine this beautiful table that is sitting in this valley. And he said, I'm in the presence of my enemies. All of a sudden, David sees the enemy. All of a sudden, David knows what the enemy looks like. And in the presence of the enemy doesn't just mean we know that we don't fight flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places, rulers and darkness all over the place. We understand. We know the scriptures that we know how to quote. And it's not just this. David is not saying that there's just enemies that are around. Duh, we know that. The very specific phrase that he uses is that when he says in the presence of enemies, he means hostility and harassment. It is the confrontation of actual war. It was a term for war that David used. So David says, I'm sitting, imagine this, that I'm sitting at this beautiful table with fine linens on it, candles, and the good shepherd Jesus is sitting with me. He said, and we're sitting down and these angels get ready to create this beautiful Wagyu steak dinner for us. Little mini angels are flying by dropping grapes in our mouths. I want you to see this scenario. It's you and Jesus at a table, and it says reserved for Jeremy Dunn, reserved for Landon Schott, reserved for Steve Panante, reserved for Heather, reserved with your name on it, reserved for Mercy Culture. So now you know you don't deserve the table. You didn't earn the table, but he puts your name on it anyways. And at this beautiful table, there's a battle and a bloodbath that's going on all around. This is what David's talking about. And I want you to see Psalms 23 like you've never seen it before, that David is sitting at a table and blood is being spilled all around him. And so many of us would say, Lord, before I sit down, can't you just deal with my enemies? Can't you just deal with that Jezebel? Can't you just deal with that pain? Can't you just deal with that dad that abused me? Can't you just deal with that person that left me? Can't you deal with him first so I can enjoy? I want to enjoy this Jesus, but every time I go to sit down, it seems like I can't quit thinking about what's happening around me. Have you ever been in a place that you feel like you got to the table, but you can't even enjoy it because there's so many demonic battles going on around you? And we sit down and we say, Jesus, why couldn't you defeat them first? Can you please deal with my enemy first before we plant a church, before we get into a building, so we could just enjoy it? And the Lord said, son, no. He said, absolutely not, sit back down. But Lord, I'll come back. No, sit back down, son. He said, the reason I let the enemy still be here He said, it's because I'm not afraid of them, and neither should you be. He said, and I'm sitting with you at this table, and I let the enemy stay around you so that I could bear witness to you how I want you to respond in the midst of the attack that you've got going on. And you thought this table was about feasting. No, baby. This table was about revealing. This was a table of exposure. You couldn't see your enemy 2 verses ago, but I put you at a table now to expose the enemy in your life. Can I testify to somebody? God is about to put you at a table that exposes the enemies in your life, the relationships you shouldn't have, the people you shouldn't be connected to, the devils that have been haunting you. Fear has been hunting you down for a decade. Depression has been running through your family. Worry has been scattered throughout all of your children. Today the Lord says, I'm exposing your enemy. The enemy's not going to hunt you down no more. Sit down and relax. Sit down and enjoy it. Sit down and be at peace. That's what I saw when I saw you laying on the couch. I saw a church that was at the table. The Lord said he's put you at the table. You found your name early. You found your place early. You sat down, and because you're here, the enemy will try to come around you. But the enemy is not assigned to that table. So as long as you stay at the table, God, as long as you stay at the table, everything's going to be all right. Hey, you need to tell your enemy. You need to serve your enemy notice this morning. You need to serve fear and worry and anxiety notice that the shepherd's about to bless me in spite of your curse, that he's about to heal me in spite of the sickness. He's about to take care of me in spite of the conflict. He's about to promote my business in the midst of your attack. You do whatever you want to do, but the shepherd led me to this place, and the shepherd is going to take me to his house. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus, I thank you that you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, I thank you that you silence fear. Jesus, I thank you that at this table, enemies are fleeing 7 ways. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you're exposing.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.